From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudette. This is Idaho Matters. It's now legal again to give someone a ticket for sleeping or camping on public property. This comes after the U.S. Supreme Court ruled on the Grants Pass versus Johnson case. The Oregon City wanted to fine people sleeping in public parks and possibly put them in jail if they refused to comply. And the court said that was not cruel and unusual punishment. Now, this case actually has its roots in Boise under former Mayor Dave Beter. In an older lawsuit, when members of the homeless community fought back against the city's policy of ticketing people sleeping on the street, that suit made it to the Ninth Circuit Court, which said it did constitute cruel and unusual punishment. Current Mayor Lauren McClain came out against the U.S. Supreme Court's recent ruling, saying criminalizing homelessness will not solve the problem. So joining us today to talk about the ramifications of the ruling on Boise's homeless community is Jody Peterson-Steigers, the Executive Director of Interfaith Sanctuary Community Housing. Welcome back to the program, Jody.
Hey, Gemma, nice to be here.
So, Jody, I'm curious about what your reaction was when you found out about the U.S. Supreme Court's most recent decision.
I wasn't shocked, but I was definitely heartbroken. I could kind of see the writing on the wall as I watched the hearings and heard what the justices were saying, but it's not a good move, Gemma.
Can you talk a little bit about how we got to this point? As I mentioned, this case in front of the U.S. Supreme Court came from Oregon. However, as we mentioned, I mean, truly, the roots of this case started here in Boise.
Correct. Yeah, it was about Martin being the lead, and then some others that Howard Beladoff with the Idaho Legal Aid represented, where they had been ticketed for sleeping outside, but there was no shelter beds available to them. And so Howard then took that case all the way to the Ninth District Court, and it was ruled as cruel and unusual punishment to ticket someone for sleeping outside when there's no available appropriate shelter bed for them. Where, you know, the question is, what are they supposed to do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what are they supposed to do? So I'm curious, yeah, what is the current policy here in the city of Boise if someone is found sleeping in a park or on a sidewalk, basically in a public space?
So Martin v. Boise is supposed to protect if there's not available beds for the people who are sleeping outside. That case is supposed to protect them, but there are some workarounds that we do see our unhoused population racking up tickets. But our mayor and our Path Home definitely believes that criminalization is absolutely not the answer, that enough shelter beds and affordable housing is how you solve homelessness.
Mm-hmm. So under this new ruling, though, what could happen, even though our current mayor sounds like, you know, she is against this recent decision, doesn't believe in ticketing homeless people for sleeping or even putting someone in jail for that, for sleeping outside. She may not always be the mayor, though.
Yeah, I mean, right now, I think we in the city of Boise breathe a sigh of relief, like, thank goodness Mayor McClain is leading the charge. But the issue is that homelessness doesn't just reside in the city of Boise. And when Grants Pass was overturned, basically each city, each mayor gets to determine how they're going to look at homelessness within their community. And so in Eagle, in Nampa, in CUNA, mm-hmm, in Meridian, depending on how they look at this overruling, if it is criminal act to sleep outside in those areas, what will the pressure be on the city of Boise for those who don't have housing and have nowhere to go? Will that move them into the city of Boise, where we are currently experiencing a crisis of not having enough shelter beds and certainly not having enough affordable housing? So the effect will be on all of us.
Mm. I know in the past, Jody, you have said that when you ticket someone for sleeping outside, that all it does is really further them into this trap of homelessness. Can you talk a little bit about that and your thoughts on that? I mean, really, how do those tickets and fines hurt someone's chances of trying to break out of that cycle?
Yeah, and I mean, we see it in real life time. Someone is working really hard to get out of this homeless situation, and we've worked to attach them to employment opportunities, gotten them on the housing wait list, and then they get these tickets that build up that can turn into warrants. And so now suddenly they're in jail and they've missed work. So they've lost their job, or they can't even get the job because of background checks, or they can't get the housing because of background checks. It's making it harder for them to do what everyone wants them to do, which is to get off the street and into housing. But those tickets actually become a deterrent to the two things that matter most to them.
So I'm going to play the devil's advocate here for a minute, Jody, because you know as well as I do that there are people who absolutely agree with this decision from the U.S. Supreme Court. They don't want people sleeping in public spaces overnight. They, you know, for whatever reasons they may have around that, they definitely don't want to see homelessness in their, you know, in their city. Also, there are people that say, look, we just go to the shelter, right? Like you you don't want to be in the shelter because maybe, you know, you don't want to follow the rules of a shelter. So you're just sleeping outside. And what do you say to that? Because I am sure, doing the work that you do, you hear these sentiments quite often.
I do. And it's such a tricky answer because every night at our shelter, we have a wait list. So we have 148 beds, but we'll sleep about 175 guests in an outdoor tent and on the floor to get that number up to 175. And that's capacity for us based on code. And so if someone comes to us and we don't have a bed that night, where are they to go? And so the easy answer is, well, they can go to the other shelter. That's not easy. It's not always the right person for that bed. And so then what? And I can assure you that the people that we serve that may be living outside either all the time or sometimes, they don't want to be outside. It's not the rules that keep them away from getting support. It is the illnesses. It is the mental health issues. It is things that require resourcing and stability and care. And the more that we criminalize it, the more trauma we put on these people, which is another thing that pushes you deeper into your addiction, deeper into your mental health, and deeper into your homelessness. And so no one, I promise you, ever, like when they're at their kindergarten graduation and they're like, what do you want to be when you grow up? I want to be homeless. It's not a dream. It's a nightmare reality that many got caught up in a system that's broken and they can't find their way out because the access is just not there.
Well, I know, Jody, that you on a daily basis are talking with folks who don't have a home, who don't have a place to sleep. I'm curious if this new ruling has come up in any of your conversations and what they're saying about this decision. I mean, are they worried about what might happen if they sleep outside one evening?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we have this newspaper called Word on the Street, and it's made up of an editorial staff of guests and people from our unhoused population. And that ruling came out, and the very next day we had that editorial meeting, and the conversation was actually really heartbreaking. And one woman said, you know, last night I went to sleep as a homeless person, and this morning it feels like I woke up as a criminal, because if I can't get into a bed, I'm breaking the law. And so they're going to hold on to their bed for dear life, you know, they're going to stay in the shelter system, because if they leave, that releases to the bed to someone on a wait list, and then what? And so it strikes fear in people. They don't know how the city of Boise will actually interpret this overturning. So, everyone waits breathlessly, but I'm on the board with Our Path Home. I work closely with Mayor McLean and the city of Boise. Criminalization of homelessness is not something they want to see. They're working so hard on solutions, but the solutions are really hard.
The U.S. Supreme Court said that this was not cruel and unusual punishment to ticket someone for sleeping outside. How do you feel about that, Jody?
I think it's cruel and unusual punishment. I think that someone who's experiencing homelessness for the first time, they are so scared and they really don't know how to navigate a system. And if they can't find a shelter bed and they fall asleep on a bench out of exhaustion because they have nowhere else to go, and then they're woken up to be given a ticket by a police officer and they have no money and they have nowhere to go, and suddenly they're like, well, I've never been homeless and I've never been in jail, but both those things are now my reality. How does that feel okay? Like, what did that person do wrong to all of a sudden be considered a criminal when they may have lost their job, or they may have medical issues, or they may have lost their partner who helped contribute to their mortgage, or they may have, had a mental health break because the life was too stressful. Like, there's so many reasons where people will fall into homelessness, but the solution is always about create safe shelter, offer supportive services, give access to health care and to mental health and to addiction services and to employment opportunities. And let's not layer on more barriers. Let's figure out how we break the barriers down by seeing each of these people as humans that could have been our mom or dad or brother or sister. These are the people in our neighborhood. And if you do sit and talk to them and you hear their stories, it will change your perception completely. And you will understand why we fight so hard to try and bring access back to them. The system let them down. We are letting them down.
So Jody, what in your mind, what happens now? Because even though, as you mentioned, the mayor of Boise does not agree with this decision, as we have mentioned, right? You've
Right.
had numerous conversations. So as a whole, the city of Boise is against this idea of ticketing. With that said, the mayor doesn't control the police department, nor does she control the prosecuting attorney's office. So they frankly can do whatever they want, even if the mayor were to come out and say, I don't want you to do that. Are you concerned about that at all? Or do you feel, at least right now, people who are experiencing homelessness, at least in the city of Boise, have some respite?
I believe that the relationship between the Boise Police Department, the city of Boise, and our unhoused population is very connected. The Boise Bike Patrol is a perfect example of they're part of working in the system with us. They know who these people are and they do engage and they don't want to cause them harm. I don't think that across the board, everyone within the Boise Police Department maybe sees or feels it the same way, but I do know that the conversations are really around trying to find better solutions than ticketing. So I think we just have to be really good at staying engaged with each other, which we do. I mean, Captain Ruffalo is on the Our Path Home Executive Committee with all of us. And so he's very aware of what's happening day to day. And so I think the city of Boise will do the best job possible. I think that there'll be stuff that happens that we're going to have to navigate. I'm more concerned about the cities that surround us and how they interpret this and what that will do for the pressure of our systems in the city of Boise.
So before I let you go, I want to switch gears really quick since I have you here and ask you about an update on your new building on State Street. How far along are you, and when do you see yourself moving operations from downtown to this new location?
Yeah, we are in construction. The hope is September 2025, we'll be opening the door to that location. Construction's going great. GoHo is doing a fantastic job, and pretty amazing to drive by and to go to the meetings and actually see this kind of dream shelter coming to life. I can't believe it.
Well, as always, Jody, we really appreciate your perspective. So thanks for taking time to talk with us today.
Of course, and thanks for talking about this, Gemma. I appreciate it.
You're more than welcome. We've been talking with Jody Peterson-Stikers. She is the executive director of Interfaith Sanctuary Community Housing, discussing the recent Supreme Court decision allowing cities to ticket people sleeping on public property. And we are going to follow this story and continue to do that as the ramification of the court's decision trickle down to cities like Boise. In fact, we're going to hear from Boise's mayor tomorrow on her reaction to this recent Supreme Court decision. So make sure you tune in to Idaho Matters tomorrow as well. Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
Here at Shortwave Space Camp, we escape our everyday lives to explore the mysteries and quirks of the universe. We find weird, fun, interesting stories that explain how the cosmos is partying all around us. From stars to dwarf planets to black holes and beyond, we've got you. Listen now to the Shortwave podcast from NPR.